Let's turn back to chapter 2 of Luke. It was page 876 in your pew Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, take one of those pew Bibles home with you, okay? Everybody needs to have a Bible now in our day and age. And so take one, and I encourage you to read it. Our church family has been reading through the Bible through the Bible every year. And we're getting close to the end of the year, so a lot of us are up all night reading. But I encourage you to read as much scripture as you possibly can, and it'll change your heart, it'll change your life. So in Luke chapter 2, so the passage that probably gives us the most detail about the Nativity, about the birth of our Savior. And as I was reading through this chapter, I noticed, the second chapter, I noticed the reactions of Mary and Joseph. And I thought about, how do we respond to the miracle of Christ's birth? Do we respond the same way? We'll find them responding with wonder, with amazement, and a desire to treasure all the things that God has done. And so let's look at least five different verses. We'll just jump through. We won't do the whole chapter, but just those moments where we see the reactions, especially of Mary and Joseph, to the Christ child. First of all, in verses 18 and 19, we find Mary at the stable in Bethlehem. And it says, and all they that heard it wondered. That word is thaumazo. They were amazed. They were wondering. They were amazed at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The word pondered in the original language is a word that means to throw together. And so what's happening is she's mentally listing all the things that she can remember. And she's getting that, she's doing that so she can get the overall picture of what God is doing. It says Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The word kept there is not just something that won't get away, but she treasured it. She had an emotional response to the memories that she had of what the Lord was doing in her life. Mothers often keep a book or a journal of their children with all the memories that they have. Maybe it's a wristband from the hospital or a birth certificate with that footprint on it. I guess they're doing that less and less nowadays, but the footprint on a certificate or a picture of a child's first day at school. That's just normal to do. Well, Mary treasured all these things, and she kept her journal in her heart, everything that took place. And I wonder, as I think of her standing at the cross, at the crucifixion, how those memories must have flooded her mind. What things was Mary thinking about? Well, I think it would start with that first experience when the angel appeared unto her. And she was told that she was going to have a child. Back in Luke chapter 1 and verses 30 through 38, it goes into that detail. And her response was, how can this be? Because I don't have a husband. Having a child would have been a huge embarrassment. Others would have a hard time believing her story. Mary knew the truth. And the angel revealed that her cousin Elizabeth was also with child in her old age. And she reminded Mary at that point that with God, nothing shall be impossible. Joseph didn't know what to do. They were engaged. And now she's expecting a baby. And he knew he wasn't the father. And so while he was trying to decide what to do as far as putting her away as a divorce or not, the Lord sent an angel to him. And he let him know that this child was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And he was told that it was okay to take Mary, his espoused or betrothed wife. Well, Mary may have been thinking about the trip with Joseph to Bethlehem. It was long. Expectant mothers always want things to run smoothly. They want to be rather close to a hospital when they know the baby is due. This certainly wouldn't be a plan that anyone would look forward to. The birth of Jesus in the manger didn't work out the way any new mother would choose. She may have been pondering or thinking about how the shepherds showed up and how they said, gave the story of how the angel had told them. All these things were being thrown together or organized as Mary pondered them in her heart. Do you ever ponder what God is doing in your life? We're so busy. We'd do well to sit down and avoid the interruptions and organize in our minds what God is doing or has done. We should ponder how He saved us from our sins, how He placed us among family members and church members, and we should think about how He's guided our lives along the paths that weren't always clear and weren't always easy, just as Mary and Joseph did as they were led on that 70-mile trip to Bethlehem. Ponder what God is doing in your life. Take all the things and put them all together in an organized fashion, and you'll find that everything that God does in your life is good. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Secondly, there's another reaction by Mary and Joseph at the temple. This is found in verse 33. "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple in obedience to the law of Moses. They were still living under the Jewish laws and the economy of the Old Testament. And Luke puts all the trips to the temple according to the law. There would have been three of them. He puts them into this one passage, and it appears as one trip. But if you'll look back in Exodus chapter 13 and Numbers chapter 3, we'll find that he does so to emphasize their obedience to the Old Testament law. There would have been a trip on the eighth day after a baby boy was born for a circumcision. That's in verse 21. And then in verse 22, after 30 days, the mother would go for purification. And then there would be a final presentation, that's also in verse 22. And in that presentation, there would be a lamb that was offered. A lamb was given as a burnt offering, and also a turtle dove for a sin offering. Now, if the family couldn't afford a lamb and a turtle dove, they'd bring two turtle doves. And that was the offering that Mary and Joseph brought. In the temple, they met Simeon. He had been told by God that he would see the Messiah before he died. Look at verses 28 through 31. "And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel.'" That promise that God made to Simeon was fulfilled. He lived not just to see the Messiah, but to hold him in his arms. Can you imagine what that experience would have been like? And then he says to God, "Now let thy servant depart in peace." What a great description of how a Christian dies or leaves this world and goes to heaven. To depart means to leave one place so that you can arrive at another. And to depart in peace means I'm perfectly fine with God's timing in my life. He does all things well. And when he calls me home, that's the time I want to go. He makes a statement for others to hear. "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." When he says thy salvation, he's still talking to the Lord. But he's now speaking for others to understand what's happening. And he says, "And that salvation has been prepared for all people." The Bible puts it this way: whosoever will may come. Jesus died for you. He invites you to come. And then he says, "A light to lighten the Gentiles." That's anyone outside of the nation of Israel. "And the glory of thy people Israel." So both Jews and all the other nationalities are invited to the salvation that Christ provides. Now we come to verse 33. "And Joseph and his mother," it says, "marveled at those things which were spoken of him." Here the word translated marvel means to wonder, to admire, or to be amazed. It's the same word we saw back in verse 18 to describe the wonder of all who heard the shepherd's report about what had taken place. And so we stop and ask ourselves this question: are you filled with wonder when you think of the salvation that God has provided through the Lord Jesus Christ? At a time like this, on the day before we celebrate the birth of Christ, are you amazed that he would come, that God would send his own son to earth for the purpose of living a sinless life and dying a sacrificial death on a cross for your sins personally? A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. Can you say with Simeon, mine eyes have seen thy salvation because you've trusted Christ as your Savior? Third, we find the next reaction taking place 12 years later. It's still in this chapter, but now Mary and Joseph are on a trip to Jerusalem. Verse 48 says, and when they saw him, they were amazed. That's the reaction. What had happened for their amazement? Mary and Joseph traveled from Nazareth to Jerusalem for the yearly feast of Passover. Now, the Passover feast was one day, and then it was followed by the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that was 7 days. So the whole feast would be lasting 8 days. It was an annual feast. Everybody was required to come. On the way home, after the first day of travel, they realized Jesus wasn't with them. They would have been traveling in a large group and maybe assumed that Jesus was with another family member, an extended family member. And it took a day for them to get back. So they were gone a day, they were traveling back a day, and then the third day they found Jesus. What was he doing? He was interacting with those who were teaching the law in the temple at Jerusalem. He's listening to them, and he's asking them questions. Verse 47 says, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers as he discussed with the Old Testament with the doctors. The word doctors there literally is master teachers. The word translated astonished here literally means that they were standing beside themselves. They heard this discussion, and they were outside of themselves as they listened. The word describing Mary and Joseph is that they were amazed. Luke 2:48, and when they saw him, they were amazed. They're seeing Jesus, 12 years old. Here, the word comes from a compound word, which means to beat down or flatten out, to pound. And so the idea is to be smitten with astonishment. There are things that surprise us today. When I read about Mozart, and he was 4 years old when he started to play the harpsichord. At age 5, he was composing his own pieces. And a year later, his father began taking he and his sister to perform certain concerts throughout Europe. Mozart was in these concerts playing violin, organ, piano, harpsichord, age 6. That's pretty amazing. But the discussion Jesus had with the experts of the Old Testament law showed more than a child prodigy who amazes those who hear his musical talent. Jesus had this great theological knowledge that surpassed the knowledge that these doctors of the law, these teachers in Jerusalem, had. But remember, it's not surprising. This was his word. This was his law. And even though Mary and Joseph knew Jesus was God's son, they were smitten with astonishment when they saw him interacting with the doctors of the temple. Again, are you smitten with astonishment when you think about all that God knows? Do you find yourself saying with David in Psalm 139:6, he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. And do you end up saying, as he said in that psalm, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be in any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Our fourth reaction is in verse 50. And they, Mary and Joseph, understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Now Mary reacted just like any other mother would when a child wanders off. Verse 48, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Have you ever been lost as a child and your parents come and find you and say, do you know what you've put us through? That's what Mary was saying. Jesus immediately made a correction, but he did so without criticizing Mary or Joseph. He reminded them that he had come to earth to do his heavenly Father's will. Verse 49, he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they all knew. They knew everything for the last 12 years of what God had been doing in this Christ's life for the last 12 years. And yet they still didn't fully understand what he was telling them. Verses 50 through 52, they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. They understood not. The word understood here is a word that means, again, to send together or to put all the pieces together, to comprehend. They didn't put all the pieces of the puzzle together about what Jesus was doing, what God was doing in their life. You may never know all of what God is doing in your life until you get to heaven. Don't stop treasuring the things that he's done. Don't stop pondering what he's doing in your life. Last verse, verse 51, it says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. 12 years after it was recorded that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, she's still treasuring up all those memories and keeping everything in her heart. No matter how long you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's something more to learn about him. The more you learn of him, the more amazed you'll be. And so treasure all the things that God does in your life. Look for his hand in your life. If you're still unsaved and you've heard how you can trust Christ as your Savior who took your penalty on the cross, do so now. Think of that first. And then as you walk with him and grow in knowledge of him, ponder the things that he's doing in your life. Don't think everything's just happening by chance. God's at work in your life. So keep reading the scriptures and learning of him. Keep thinking of what he's doing in your life. Keep treasuring those things that cause us to wonder and to be amazed. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most amazing and wonderful event that's ever taken place. It's even more meaningful when you realize that he came for your sins. And as you do that, think of all that he's done for you. Respond. Respond with wonder. Respond with amazement. Respond with acceptance of who Jesus is. Father in heaven, we thank you for the occasion of this meeting tonight. We thank you for the eve of the day that Christ was born. And I pray that as we go to our homes and go throughout this new year, we'll be amazed at the gift that you have given to mankind. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve you sending your only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross for us. And yet you've done that. I pray that if there's one here that's uncertain of their salvation, that they'll get that settled, that they won't go into the darkness of this night and still in the darkness of their sin. Draw them to yourself in salvation. And may this be the best Christmas ever because of the reception of the gift of eternal life. And may we who have been walking with you, whether it's been a long time or a short time, help us to never lose the wonder, the amazement of your tremendous gift. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.